coming running towards him. And something that struck me in this story was, and this is, forgive me, but this is just how my mind works, okay? In the New Living Translation, somewhere towards the end of that story, you find that Jesus commands the devils to come out of him. And the devils had a request. They said, would you cast us into the swine? And of course, you know, Jesus, the scripture says Jesus grants their request and he allowed them to be cast into the swine. And the New Living Translation says there were about 2,000, everybody say 2,000 swine feeding on the hillside that day. And when the devils left Legion and entered into them, they left this man who was possessed by them. I call him Legion, but he was a man of the Gadarenes, whatever title you want to put on him. When they left him and entered into those swine, all 2,000 of them ran down the hill and into the sea and died. They drowned. And I don't know why I never thought of this before, but Brother Heiner, those swine belong to somebody. Those swine were someone's livelihood. Now you think of everybody's got not everybody, except for Jimmy. They got a family pig. These weren't Jimmy pigs. These were pigs. These were bacon pigs. They were pork chop pigs. They were pork shoulder pigs. They were somebody's livelihood. Think about that for a minute. 2,000 of anything is a lot. I know what they consider to be big cattle ranches that run 400 head of cattle. 2,000. Brother Cool, 2,000 swine. 2,000 pigs. That was a big livelihood. Gone in a moment. And I had this thought. That owner that day sacrificed 2,000 swine for one single soul. You see, in today's economy, in today's world, and the first thought that came to my mind when I read this, and maybe it's because the New Living Translation put that number in there. Maybe that's the thing. You know, we're a generation so money conscious and so rights, quote unquote, rights conscious. You know, everybody's got rights. We're so animal conscious. I looked at a piece of property the other day and they said that you can't build on it because the elk feed in the wintertime there. And so you're not able. We're so conscious of animals and conscious of all these things. And so in my mind, when I think about the first thought that comes to my mind when I hear that 2,000 swine, somebody's livelihood, ran into the sea and drowned, I think, well, who's going to replace them? Somebody's responsible for that. You can't just take somebody's livelihood like that. But then I begin to look throughout the Gospels and I go back and I look throughout the New Testament. The first story that came to my mind was in the Gospels when Jesus told his disciples when he was going to ride into Jerusalem. He said, I want you to go into the city, and when you get there, you're going to find a colt tied, who never a man has rode. And when you get there, I want you to untie the colt, and I want you to bring it back. Wait a minute. That colt belongs to somebody. That colt has value. Somebody bred that horse. And they threw this prized foal. They haven't even got a chance to train it yet. To pack their water and their food and to plow their fields. And Jesus says, yeah, that one, I want that. That's a good one, I want that. Go get it for me. You can't do that. There's a value there. You just can't take something from someone that doesn't something from someone that doesn't belong to you. Who's going to pay for that? And the currency that he gave us the apostles' currency that day. He gave him some money. You know what the money was? When he asked you what you're doing with it, tell him the master has need of it. That was their currency. There's no record in the Gospels that that colt was ever returned to its rightful owner. We don't know where it went. We don't see a huge uproar about it. Oh, the master has. Oh, God, well, in that case, take both of them. Who's the master? You see this repeated process throughout Scripture that is something I believe missing from this generation, the 21st century. It's an element of sacrifice. And we look at everything as needing to be replaced. And everything is borrowed. Well, yeah, you can borrow that, but I need it back. You want to use this, that's fine, but I need it back. You need $20, that's okay, here's $20, but I'm expecting $20 in return. But I see this story of sacrifice played out over and over and over again in Scripture where people gave of everything they had. They gave of their livelihoods, expecting nothing in return. The following Scripture after the story of the legion of demons being cast into 2,000 swine isn't the farmer coming back and saying, all right, who's praying for the pigs? No. It was the keepers of those pigs going into the city, and their story was the pigs died, but you gotta see the guy who used to be crazy. You know the guy who tried to bind with chains and fetters, yet he broke them off. And the guy who was running around in the tombs naked. Well, he's clothed now and he's in his right mind and he's sitting there. That was the only concern. The sacrifice to them appeared to be worth it. Sacrifice their livelihood so one soul could find his sanity. I'm reminded of the widow woman who came through the temple treasury. And there were the big shots that were there as they came by the treasury to drop off. Well, I don't have any money, but to drop off their big wads of cash. As you hear it described in Scripture, you can almost, if you close your eyes, you can almost imagine it. You know, they're fine tailored suits. Fine woven clothing. The finest of tailors of their day. And, you know, maybe they had like a fancy pouch they kept their money in. And, you know, they rolled by and they slowly pulled the strings open. Reaching inside and pulling out their wad that they were giving that day. Their handful of coins that they were disposing that day. Then comes that woman with a couple of coins. Clink, clink. That was it. No fanfare. She sacrificed. How did she sacrifice? Jesus said, listen, you guys are giving what you know, you're giving for show and of your abundance. And she's giving everything that she has. Sacrifice. We began to sing a song in practice. We didn't get to it today because the Lord took over, but it began to fit with the things the Lord was talking to me about with regard to Abraham and Isaac. God gave Isaac this prized possession of a son to Abraham. This is what he's been waiting for his entire life. I've wanted this forever. And thank you, Jesus. You gave it to me. You've blessed me with it. And now it's mine. It's my possession. And if you don't, you can believe what you want. But if you don't think Isaac was coddled, you probably don't know a mom like I know a mom. And a dad like I know a dad. And then the day came when the word of the Lord came to Abraham. I want you to take Isaac. And we're going to sacrifice him. Wait, what? This is mine. Surely you'll replace it. If I am to kill him, if I am to sacrifice him, surely you'll replace it, right? That was never a part of the conversation. God didn't say, hey, listen. And he never says this to anybody, just FYI, in case God's asking something of you today and you're waiting around on the negotiations. He never negotiates. He says, take your only son up on the mount, sacrifice him. If you're here today and God's ever showed you the end of the story while it's starting, come see me after church, lay hands on me, pray for me. Maybe God will give that gift to me. I believe in the impartation laying on hands. God rarely shows me the end of the story. He didn't show Abraham the ram caught in the thicket. He simply showed him the sacrifice required of what had been given him. And once he was willing, once he showed his willingness to sacrifice, God provided himself a sacrifice. God provided himself a ram that day. And then he made a covenant. He swore to Abraham that day. He said, man, in blessing, I'm going to bless thee. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply thee. I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea. He began to make all these promises to him. And he swore that it was going to happen. How did that come to pass? Sacrifice. The book of Romans says it this way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be, in verse 2, not conformed. Everybody say conformed to this world. You see, in our society today, sacrifice isn't something that people are into. In fact, people are only looking out for how they can better themselves. And don't get me wrong here today. I'm not advocating that you shouldn't have anything or you shouldn't put back for yourself. I'm not advocating about that. But our society, the reason that the first thought into my mind as soon as those I read about 2,000 swine disappearing, the reason the carnality in me, my flesh. I'm not saying I'm a carnal person, but I have a flesh. I'm Nick. I live and breathe and operate in the same world you live and breathe and operate in. That Nick said, you can't do that. You can't take his pigs away. You owe him something for them pigs. God's answer is, I gave you the pigs. Those pigs belong to me. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his anyway. And so he took it. But our society doesn't believe that. You see, I'm programmed. I'm programmed in society today because I live and work in the business world. And all of you that are involved in the business world, you're nodding your head. Yes, everyone expects something for something. When I make a mistake and I mess something up on a project and a contractor has to do extra work, he doesn't call and say, oh, well, you know what, Nick, you're a great guy. I really like you. This 72 hours of labor at $100 an hour, I'll just dismiss it. You just have a Merry Christmas. No! They should charge me $100 an hour, but they charge me $150 an hour. And then they write me a letter and tell me why they charge me $150 an hour. And they're due the extra $50 an hour because I made a mistake. And not only did it cost them the labor, but it cost them time lost in the future. Because everybody's looking for recompense. Everybody thinks you're the culpable party, and so I get everything. That's the mentality. You owe me. This is mine. Jesus says, not so in my kingdom. I'll take that. That belongs to me. and I alone, says God, decide what I return for that. I know this isn't something that we're used to being a part of our vocabulary. We don't just sit around the dinner table talking about, well, what are we going to sacrifice tonight? But when the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, when it talks about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, obviously, I'm not slitting my throat every day, thank God. I don't have to bleed out every day and believe that trust as I run that knife across my throat and fall out, pass out from all the blood loss, that he's somehow going to sew it up and transfuse blood into me and raise me up again. I don't have to do that. But what he asked of me is to daily lay myself, everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I possess, everything that I'm not, everything that I could be, everything that I want to be. He asked me to lay that on an altar and allow his spirit to maybe take a knife of the Holy Ghost and stab it and kill it. Take it from me. Oh, that's so mean. No, it's his right. He's a sovereign God and he has the ability to give, Job said, and take away. I had this thought this morning as I was shaving. Reminded of a story. I think it was a year Kaylee and I got engaged. So this was September of 2003. I was at a general conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's a foreign mission service, and I'll never ever forget this service as long as I live. I think Brother Howell spoke that night, but it doesn't matter who spoke, it was the message. And I remember that night there was a casket. When you got to church that night, there was a casket that was set up in front of the pulpit. And he told a story about the early missionaries. Maybe some of you have read this in books, but I had never heard it before, and it spoke to me and struck me and marked my spirit. The early missionaries, when they signed up to go to a foreign country, whether it was Africa, Europe, wherever, I want to be a missionary. They got their stamp of approval, all right, you're good to go, and they raised their funds in America, whatever they did. They literally put their belongings in a casket and sent them over there because they were never coming back, and they would be buried on foreign fields. And yet we lose it and get emotional and become train wrecks. When somebody becomes sick and we are faced with a thought that possibly God may choose to take them from us sooner than we expected. There was a generation not long ago. I know this is hard for us to fathom because we live in such plush conditions in America. There was a generation not long ago that packed their bags in a casket, kissed their family goodbye, knowing that they very well will probably be buried in that casket and never come back to the United States of America. And yet they said, where do I sign? Sign me up. I want to go spread the gospel to the world. I don't remember who said this. Somebody, I don't want to give credit to the wrong person, but somebody just in the past couple of weeks quoted a scripture in this room regarding the apostle. I believe it was the apostle Paul. In regards to them taking no thought for their own lives, even unto death. Just sacrifice. You can't do that. That's not fair. No, it's daily presenting myself a living sacrifice, willing to be used of him at whatever the cost. And this is scary stuff. Because I don't know what he's going to ask of me tomorrow. He's asked a lot of me in my life. He's taken some things from me. He asked me to give them up, and I obviously didn't, so he took them from me. He's devastated me. He's ripped things from my grasp. But through all that, I've learned that there's no value in any of that. And the only value is in what he wants. And I'm willing to sacrifice anything and everything. Much like the man with the swine, so that one soul, Brother Pablo, could find their sanity. I'll never forget the night in my front room over here on 18th Street Northwest when God set you free. I'll never forget that. Everything that I'd done in my life and everything that had transpired in my life up to that moment was worth it all. To see the way that God ministered to you that night. What would you give up? What would you allow God to do in your life? What would you surrender to that he's asking for that could maybe affect one person in your life? Who is that? Who's that one person, the one individual in your life that you've been asking God, God, would you minister to this person? God, would you fix this situation? Would you heal this life? Would you be willing to sacrifice 2,000 pigs? I know we smile. Yeah, 2,000 pigs. That was somebody's livelihood. You put it in your own terms. What would you give up to affect the eternity of one soul? One single soul. You've heard the stories of missionaries who've had to endure hardships, had to go through things, and maybe they didn't see a lot of results. Only to have the next generation, then they pass on. They're buried there. Maybe they were killed by rebels, whatever the situations were. They pass on only for the next generation to come in and see unprecedented outpouring and harvest. Well, that's not fair. No, it's not fair, but somebody was willing to sacrifice everything. Everything. It's kind of like the chicken and the pig. One gives an egg for breakfast. One gives bacon. Somebody's life had to be lost for the bacon. Somebody else just squawked a few times for the egg. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to sacrifice for somebody else? What he asks of us is different than everybody else. What he's going to ask of the Chamberlain is different than what he's going to ask of me. And he can't look at me and say, God, that's unfair of what you've asked of Brother Johnstone. You've asked so little of him, yet you ask so much of me. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. Can't ask him, oh God, I want your blessings. I want to fill up my storehouses, open the windows of heaven and pour out. And he does. There's principles in his word that try me, see if I won't pour out. And he does. And we try him, we test him. I try this, God, we write a little bigger check. Try this, God, a little bigger check. And we keep giving and he keeps blessing. But then at some point, much is required of you, for you've been given much. And that's not the moment to say, wait a minute, no, this is mine. Remember, you blessed me with this. You gave me this. I did this and you did this and this was part of our deal. That's not the moment, but that's the opportunity to say, yes, here, you can have it. It's yours. I know we talk a lot about Job. Look at what he sacrificed. Unthinkable sacrifice to the average human being. Unthinkable. Sacrificed his family, sacrificed his belongings, sacrificed his health. God sacrificed that stuff for him. God chose to take it from him. God allowed it to happen to him. But he returned it. He returned it. You see, the harder I fight sacrifice, and the more resistant I am to his drawing of me to release things to him, the more I fight that, the more combative I become. The same way he said to Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The more combative I become, and the more stuff starts to slip from my grasp, and the tighter I get around it, the harder it becomes, and the more difficult my life becomes, and the more tempestuous our trial becomes. And it's like, I've watched it over and over again in my life and others' life. It's like, we hold on, we hold on, we hold on, we hold on. And it's like the disciples in the ship in the middle of the storm. He's sleeping, and it's going, and it's going, it's going, it's going. It's blowing up all around. And finally they go, hey, wake up! Don't you see we're about to die? It's like the last minute. What are you doing to me? Why are you asking this of me? And then, why? I can't hold on anymore. We let it go. And then he's like, fine. That's what it took. Here, let me minister to you. Here, let me help you. Let me comfort you. Let me give you my peace. Let me start the restoration process. Now that you've died, now that you've sacrificed yourself, now that you've been willing to sacrifice everything that I've given you, let me start the restoration process in you. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hikarondo Roma Ramashana Bahaye. Hilorondoria Ramashana Bahaye. Y Soromoria Ramashana Mahasana Ramaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, just reach out to him one more time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the grace. Whatever he's asking you to do, whatever he's asking you to sacrifice, he'll give you the grace to do it.
He spoke to
Abraham. It appeared as though. Keep singing, keep praying. It appeared as though Stephen was just losing his life. But there was a guy standing there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. His name was Paul. You can't tell me as that life was lost, as that sacrifice was made of his own life for the gospel. that didn't affect a Paul who, when the Lord struck him out on the road to Damascus, said, whatever you want, Lord, here I am. You don't know the effect your sacrifice is going to have on somebody else's life. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you go through what you've gone through. Somebody's watching you go through what you're going through right now. And they're watching the grace with which you've gone through it that's imparted by the Holy Ghost. They're watching how you're handling it. They're watching you come in the house of God and praise Him. They're watching you continue to give God glory, even when there doesn't seem to be anything to glorify God about. They're watching you, and it's having an effect on their life. Why don't you stand right now? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I will give you all.
In Jesus' name.
I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my
this altar's open. I'm done. Talk to the Lord. Respond to His drawing today in your life. Whatever it is that He's asking of you.